Hello, listeners. It's back to Breaking Bread here in Napa. It's been quite a while since we last had our discussion. So lots to talk about on the political side of the House. Jump in. Just the last time we were here with Hisham and Freddie, we were talking about Joe Biden decided to get out of the race, and he was promoting a Kamala, obviously. So we haven't sat down and talked about that since. And you know, what are your thoughts? You know, in terms of, okay, Kamala's it. I mean, she's doing great. I know there was some skeptical talk about Kamala on our last podcast. So where are you, Hisham and Freddie, with the whole thing, you know, transpired and where we're at today with the Kamala being the, you know, on the ticket?
I'm glad. So one person you're missing in that equation is Nancy Pelosi. Like, I think she, she put her foot down, and I think she saved probably Biden's legacy. Maybe Biden, you know, like, he's not willing to admit that, but it got to a point where, hey, old man, we're gonna take the keys away, and we want to save your legacy. I mean, he did a lot of great things for the country, stabilizing it from the events that happened, you know. It doesn't matter what
the depths of COVID. You know, yeah.
Well, not only COVID, but January 6th, the politician, the representatives, you know, the electric representatives of the country were in sessions, and to me, like, we needed to stabilize the country. We needed to shelter the institutions from that. We vote those people in to represent us and to be our voice and to debate the issues that are important for the country. We shouldn't put their lives in jeopardy. And I thought Biden came in, and maybe he didn't push everything that he wanted to from his policies, but he did stabilize the country, because I thought, like, we were going down a cliff that who knows where it would take the Republic after that. So I'm glad that he stepped down. I'm glad that Nancy pushed that, maybe pushed it. Maybe it was a little bit late, but it happened. And, you know, like, let's see what Kamala can do.
So all in all, so your thumbs up with Kamala?
Yes, I think she's doing good. She's, you know, I like the debate. I actually expected that she won't do as well in the debate, given her debate with Vice
surprised.
President. I was very surprised, yeah.
And how well she did.
I think Hisham was a Kamala skeptic.
I was a Kamala skeptic.
He was, that's why I'm trying to draw out of him.
Kamala,
like, skeptic. I was.
Where are you now with regard to Kamala?
No, she's doing good. I think, you know, I was afraid that she's not going to have the guts to, like, go...
Stand up to Trump.
You know, I thought maybe Newsom would do a better job. I thought Newsom, Governor Newsom of California.
Oh, wow, you were a fan of Newsom.
Just from, like, he's very... I call him, he's an ass, or he can be an ass, and maybe that's what Trump needs to balance him out. But I was pleasantly surprised that Kamala did that, like, during the debate, and she put Trump on a corner, and she scolded Trump at some points. And
so would it be fair to say that you were one of those, well, I need to know more about her? So
no,
is that
yeah,
what that
exactly.
skepticism
yeah, yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
it,
okay.
It just, yeah.
All right, but you've resolved that, and you're pleasantly surprised.
I was pleasantly surprised And she did balance Trump well. Well, I'm going to call him President Trump, because some people do get offended when we just call him Trump. So
Mr.
Yeah.
Trump?
Yeah.
Former president.
he was a president, you know. So,
okay, all right.
So she
who
did
caused
well.
An insurrection. Oops.
Yes, but he was still the president.
we do say President Obama.
Yeah, so yeah. So
no,
let's give him
I like to call him Dear Leader.
Okay, Alex. But no, let's all respect right. let's okay. respect all the right. office where they were, whether all you right. were and, for and we, or against we, him.
We would love a return to civility, yeah, exactly. Hisham, and we have to be an example. So exactly. thank you for that.
Yeah.
So Freddie, lay it on us. What, where are you at? Because you were you wanted a primary, a mini primary, the last time we spoke on the podcast.
Yeah,
you know, you were not happy with the Kamala moving so fast.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. You know, I think there's a lot of people that really wanted to see some version of a primary. I do have to say, though, no one went up against her. While I would have loved, conversations, I mean, even if she didn't have people kind of coming up against her, I would have loved to have a little bit more. And I didn't watch the Democratic National Convention super deep, but, you know, would love to have different people from different parts of the Democratic Party just talking about all these different sides to America, talking about what people, the Democrats in places we don't hear about all the time, in the middle of the country, what they're actually looking for. That being said, I really have appreciated kind of at least the direction that Kamala has kind of been heading in. You know, I think that she's working towards this branding, but I think there is a branding that is starting to appeal to a lot of people, which is let's restore the middle class in America. And
so that message is resonating to you when she's really focusing on the middle class.
Yes. And I think she could do a better job with branding that, but I'm starting to see the elements of that. I mean, that's what her economic policy is targeted at. Since Reagan, we've started deteriorating the middle class by reducing the taxes that we assess America. He did such a drastic impact, Ronald Reagan. And, you know, maybe in the short term, it helped out people. But in the long term, we're just seeing kind of the hollowing out of the social programs and the social safety net that we can't support people. If they lose a job, they need to find a new one as soon as possible. And that's not always possible.
And would that be fair to say that there's a number of Republican or Trump voters that would fall into that group of people that
certainly.
Are essentially we left behind? And I mean, you could take that, you know, a step further. We had these agreements with NAFTA, and that was, you know, certainly they lost a lot of jobs. The auto industry went, you know, obviously. Exactly. So I'm glad that came up because that is an issue, you know, and the Democrats weren't like focusing on that. And we got all these disgruntled, you know.
Some people, Americans yeah. are starting to look at the Democratic Party as kind of a party of elites in some senses. And that's changed since, you know, the last 20, 30 years. It used to be the yeah. opposite. The Republicans were the champagne party or whatever.
That's right.
And
The French
laundry party. Anyways, I do think that there is an appeal to the economic message that Kamala is starting to discuss that is could be really impactful, and that I'm happy to see. I still think, like, the Bernie Sanders side of the party, I don't know that they're quite ready to embrace Kamala in that side, but...
But they know it's an all hands on deck situation,
yeah.
and they're being remarkably like
it's literally like the democracy at stake. So you have to. Mm-hmm.
We'll fight that out.
It. Even
yeah.
Republicans would have to do that. I feel
exactly.
And you know, I think just going to the attack on democracy, I think a lot of people talk about the storming of the Capitol on January 6th, but a lot of what people are not talking about is the fake elector scheme. And that is even more scary to me.
I agree with you that they got off with that.
And there's
Did
not
they
enough.
Get off or is there a trial
well,
pending?
Well, there's some court cases out there, but it's not been a top focus. The states are actually, you know, calling them in. The federal government hasn't gone after the fake electors. It's the states. And if it's a Republican state, they're looking the other way. Like,
it is deplorable that the conservative mass in this country, which is needed to balance and to debate and to move the country forward, to pick somebody like President Trump as their leader. It's to me, it's crazy. That person is corroding. I call it corroding the pillars.
It's a cancer.
It's corroding the pillars of the republic. Like when you calling out that the elections are not you have like so many people that are adding up to the electoral body with no proof. When you saying the FBI does not have value or does not add value to what they do, or the CIA, and he did that during his presidency. To me, you put in a lot of doubts.
You're eroding the confidence of the American people
on the institutions, which we need. Exactly. We need, you know, he calls law and order as like a marketing thing, but law and order to me starts with the FBI, starts with the CIA, it starts with those pillars of the government. And when you're the president of the country and you have a problem with those institutions, then fix it. Like, don't talk to the people about them without having a plan to fix them. You are the president. Reagan said the buck stops with, is it Reagan who said, no, Nixon who said that, right?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy, yeah. No.
That was an earlier one, yeah.
I was off. Okay. Somebody said the buck stops with me as a president.
Truman?
Okay. All right. Thank you. But the buck stops with the president too, right? So if you have a problem with one of the institutions, you should fix it without even talking to the people about it, because we need to ensure that the republic, you know, is
we're safe, a nation of rules of law.
Exactly. Law. Exactly. But and there's nothing wrong with that.
But he was the president for 4 years already. Did he do anything about these institutions?
No, except that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Attacking them. Attacking them.
Or is it just a useful ploy for the election?
Like, and to me, that's what I'm saying. It's deplorable for the conservatism to go after or to elect Trump as their leader, because when you want a leader to fight for conservatism, and it is needed. And to me, Trump is not a conservative. He's a populist.
His campaign is appealing to people's fears. And he's trying to instill fear in people. He does this with the economy. He does this with immigration on the southern border. He is trying to make you feel scared. And he wants to be your only solution.
And he's the answer.
That's
exactly.
He's the answer. 100%. And that is there called the foundation of authoritarianism. That is it right there. Divide and conquer. He's dividing our nation out of fear and just that strong man, that whole strong man approach. I alone could solve your problems, which is amazing. That's a whole nother discussion. but anyway, let's move on to another topic that is really been, you know, certainly top of mind. Let's talk about the economy. It's really when you talk to individuals and how are they feeling, you know, it's like I'm trying to separate the collective herd mentality of that everybody's complaining about, oh my God, the grocery store, I bought one bag of groceries, it was 100, you know, and it's like, tell me, you know, to really get a good read on the economy, you kind of got to go to the individual sometimes and find out what are you experiencing. Because I get a mixed message depending on who I'm talking to for different reasons.
I think it is bad. Inflation was really bad for mainly people who are lower income and middle income maybe. And also, I know with my business, it was very bad with the higher interest rates, which was an effort to combat the high inflation.
And you own your own small business.
This is correct, yes. Yep. And so that definitely put a damper on things. But I realize that it's a result of the very unusual situation of having a worldwide
the global pandemic,
and evening all that out. We're still not fully back, but you know, probably next year, 2026, we'll be back to fairly normal patterns again. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I just
so you're feeling a little more optimistic today than you did, you know, 6 months ago. 100%
feeling a lot more optimistic now. Yeah. The Fed has sort of tackled the interest, the inflation, right? And now they're moving on to labor to make sure that doesn't tank.
Exactly.
It's the dual mandate that they have. Mm-hmm. I think they're doing a great job balancing that. I'm glad that they did the 50%.
Mm-hmm. The basis points.
Yeah.
I think that was a good move.
What about you, Freddie? How's the economy impacting you? The last time we talked, you had some changes with your employment and...
And I'm still unemployed. But yeah, I mean, I think we are seeing with the Fed and their lowering of the interest rates, like they have kind of their own authority to act, right, on the economy and to apply the brakes, which is raising the interest rates. And they have been able to do that successfully with not dragging us into a recession, which is an impressive.
It's remarkable.
At the end of the day. I love a soft landing.
Yes.
Not a crash.
I think, though, we are starting to see the unemployment rate tick up a little bit, which is why I'm glad to see they did do the 50-point basis point drop instead of the 25. I'm very hopeful that with the lowering of the interest rate, that's going to allow businesses to borrow more money and to hopefully do some more hiring. So I am positive in my outlook for the next few months. Hopefully we see another drop in 6 months or so. I'm hopeful for the economy.
So you believe the economy is moving in the right direction right now?
Yeah.
Is that a consensus out there? Hisham, what about you? You feel the same?
I think so. I think, again, inflation was high. Usually, you know, I took an econ class in my MBA class, and the professor then said, like, the presidents get blame or get... they take credit for the economy,
rewarded for
the economy, but they're not. Like, it's cyclical. It will happen. It will go up and it will go down. And the Feds have a very close calculation that when inflation goes up, you raise the interest rate to shrink the economy to ensure it balances. And once that gets rebalanced, you start reducing those interest rates. And that's, you know, it's a playbook, and that's what they're doing. It's not President Trump's issue or Biden's issue or Obama's issue. It is the economy cyclical, goes up and down, and the Fed's...
They have livers of power there to try to back to your gentle landing.
Feds does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I do think that some of the bills that Biden has passed, like the Chips and Science Acts and the infrastructure bill, these are long-term plans to...
You're not going to feel the effects initially.
The investment in manufacturing, constructing manufacturing facilities is at an all-time high. But that means that the manufacturing hasn't quite started yet in the U.S. So I do expect that we'll see some growth in U.S. manufacturing over the next 5-10 years. I think compared to Donald Trump, when he came in, he immediately removed a lot of environmental regulation, which...
He decimated the EPA, decimated it.
Which is a very short-term thing, and we saw the impact of business growth very quickly. So I think, you know, we need to look at the how and what changes they're making and what the effect will be. I mean, short term versus long term, and you know, I'm very hopeful that we'll see as long as we have Kamala
steering the ship.
You know, if we see Donald Trump win again, you know, maybe some of the bills get reversed
And which is normal for a new president coming in. They usually reverse.
As long as those bills are allowed to continue to live, I expect that we see some, you know, real impact from those bills.
Over time, a little bit of time.
But inflation, you know, a lot of people don't even understand what inflation is. I think there's like a very easy calculation that they look at a basket of goods and they look at what the basket of goods costs today and what it costs next year. And it was going up 6% every year. So that means a basket of goods that you bought a year ago costs, you know, like $6 more if it was $100. And to me, it does impact the average Joe. And I'm glad they stabilized it, because at the end of the day, people don't give a damn about who did it. It's just, at the end of the day, I used to buy a loaf of bread for $1, you know, $3, okay. $2, and now it costs $2.50. And like, adding all up, it does add up to the person who's a manager at McDonald's or who's, you know.
However,
a lot of these prices don't go down, though. They just...
No, they keep going up.
It's a rate of inflation, right? It just sort of stalls out at that level.
Yeah, inflation.
And that is the new level that we have become accustomed to.
That is correct. Yeah.
However, we did see, you know, that not all of this was just due to...
getting out of the pandemic.
Right. Yeah. There was also...
Price gouging.
Which Kamala Harris came out right off the bat with.
Said, we're going after you.
She got into a little bit of trouble, like price fixing kind of approach. That's your first economic outing, is to say that you're going to fix the prices. But I think it's a good move. I think it's something that...
We just brought that point naturally up. Like, yeah, exactly.
People are feeling that pain.
Yeah, and what are you going to do about that?
But to me, it's like, what policies are you going to implement to price gouging? And do you like...
Okay, well, that's,
you know,
like,
to me, like, what is...
How are you
going to do it?
That?
You know, talking about it and just saying, I'm going to shut that down. But to me, it is very like skirting the line of, how are you against capitalism? Like, how are you going to do it legally and structurally? And we don't talk about that. So talking about, I'm going to stop. Everybody want to stop gouging, but how are you going
to
do it?
It sounds good, but there has to be some mechanism that they have to identify what is price gouging and what is just natural inflation.
Exactly.
Not sure. I'll tell you one thing that is going to be inflationary is if Trump gets in, he's saying he's going to put tariffs on pretty much anything that comes into the U.S., that's going to increase prices.
Tariffs are not good for the economy.
No.
And no, the consumer is the one who pays
We will all pay.
That being said, my understanding of how Kamala has spoken to Trump's tariff plan has been...
pretty good.
But it's not been accurate.
Really?
It's been...
She cited the Goldman Sachs report.
Yes, which was a report on a 20% tariff and 60% for China, which is actually not Trump's tax tariff plan. It's actually a 10% across the board and 60% in China. And they've said that the 20% is going to cost the consumer, you know, significantly. I think they said $3,000 or $4,000 a year.
$4,000.
The 10%, I think, actually comes out close to equal to Kamala's plan. So I just
semantics there.
I think we just need to be careful and be accurate in how we're describing it and not pushing propaganda. You know, I think people respect when you come out with the truth, and if you continue to push a false narrative, I think that can be dangerous and it can come back to bite you. That being said, that's my understanding of the issue and might not be accurate as well.
All right, so we're running over a little bit, so here's how we're going to play it, guys. We got 10 minutes left. I want to talk about the Middle East. I just want to, if you can give me 2 minutes, because you guys each give me 2 minutes on your thoughts of what's going on, because it is escalating. We've seen what happened. They went after Hezbollah. Hot mess. That would be known as a hot mess. Absolutely. You know, Hezbollah's getting into the picture, which they're, I'm told, like 100 more times lethal than the Hamas army. So it's really heating up. You know, where does Netanyahu play in this? it's really, I mean, he's on the run too, literally. You know, I mean, he really faces legal and potential jail time. I mean, it's a hot mess. But that, I think you're really right, how you described it. What are your thoughts, Alex?
I'm not sure what I think about Netanyahu or local Israeli politics, because I'm not really up on it. But he is extremely unpopular, is what I understand. And he's clinging on to power by allying himself with super conservative, like, forces.
Religious extremists.
Religious extremists.
Yeah.
Possibly similar to Trump. What I can say is that I just looking at the spycraft of the Israeli recent... Is it a bombing? Is it
a bombing in your pants?
It's a bombing in your balls.
They hacked everyone's pagers.
I mean,
because they knew their phones could be tracked.
Never mind your politics, what you feel about Israel and all that going on. But that is pretty amazing that they carried that off. And then the next day, when they thought the pagers were done and everything's cooled off, here come the walkie talkies. Yep.
And then next day they bombed.
In addition,
Buckley's here.
There's a deer outside. it's Napa. And then they also, I mean, there's a few other ones where they had planted a bomb inside of Iran when the Hezbollah leader went there to go to a meeting.
And
they had timed it somehow that he was going to be at this particular place in this particular time inside of Iran. And they assassinated him.
To me, the assassinations happens, and to me, it is disgusting that the U.S. is allowing Israel to kill 40,000 people, men, women, children,
mostly,
and children. funded by the U.S. taxpayers, and be okay with it. It is disgusting. It is deplorable. It is shame for the United States.
And to
allow, like, to have Kamala saying that, yes, we are okay with Israel being there, but at what price? Israel needs to be put in the corner and explain themselves on if they want to live there as people that want peace. Then they need to be respecting the other half of the people in their land that they don't want them to be there, right? Because Netanyahu said the Palestinians need to go to Egypt or need to go to other countries. You can't have the land without the people. The people live there. They've been there for thousands of years.
She did say she wanted a two-state solution.
Every American president says that, but yet you are funding Israel with a carte blanche, blank check every year with nothing. And Israel is doing that because the U.S. is allowing it to. That's you know, let's call the big elephant in the room.
Fair point.
The U.S.
is
allowing
it. I mean,
we've got stop nothing. The $5 billion that we give Israel every year, and something's going to happen.
Exactly. I agree. Freddie, what's your thoughts on this situation?
And by the way, any male over the age of 18 that is killed by Israel in Gaza, they automatically call that person Hamas terrorist. So anyone that's a male over 18, regardless of their beliefs or their, participation in terrorist activity, those people are automatically described as Hamas terrorist and they're counted appropriately.
By who?
By
Israeli
government when they are bombing those people.
Yeah, and to me, it's like, how bad are you as a country, as a military? You have these hostages, and you killed 40,000 people, and you're saying we are winning the war, and you can't free your hostages. Something is wrong. Like, I'm just looking at it. It's something is wrong. You can't just keep killing people, dropping bombs at schools, at churches, at mosques, and say, oops, we're investigating, we may have done it by mistake. That is It is bad. It is.
And just saying it's your human shield.
And to say that we are okay with Ukrainians defending themselves and the Palestinians just be killed and 40,000 people dying every day, and we're okay with that, it is
Alex,
just a shame.
Alex, you have a thought on this?
It is a shame.
Well, what I would question, sorry, Alex, what I would question is this attack on Hezbollah in Lebanon was so targeted, using people's pagers and being able to apply it to certain people, exactly pagers and certain people's walkie-talkies. However, they are
in
just
Gaza,
bombing.
In Gaza, we killed 40,000.
Exactly. That's my question.
Interesting perspective.
What's your question, Freddie?
No,
they're
it's like
able to be so targeted
strategic.
And strategic
in Gaza, they are not.
In Lebanon and in Gaza,
they
are
not. They just blow up blunt. Everything.
Yes.
Mass
and killings. Let's ask questions later.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it is quite shocking to see the lack of questioning the amount of death toll that's happened there.
And
in this country.
40,000 is a city, in like an average city in the United States, with men, women, and children. And those people are dead with nothing, like with
no consequences
for the government of Israel. Democratically elected. Israelis elected Netanyahu. So we can't say Netanyahu's.
But he's stacking the courts over there and he's trying to be in power for. Yeah,
yes,
I
he
mean,
can. But he's
so
like, you know, they elected
that.
Him.
There's
they elected
that.
Him.
There's
it is
that.
An Israeli problem. You need to resolve it. You need to ask.
But he's postponing the next election by continuing the war.
So that's why he wants a wider.
Oh, okay.
Wider.
Keep it going. Yeah.
And
bring it to the north. Why not?
His retaliation on Hamas and now Hezbollah has been more than equal. You know, Hamas October 7th, was it?
Yeah.
And the reaction has been much more than, you know. And now with Hezbollah in Lebanon, first it's the pagers, then the walkie-talkies, and then they bomb them. Hezbollah has been shooting off rockets, but only one has actually made land an impact.
And it is.
It's been very restrained. The response has been very restrained.
And Hezbollah said they would stop once a ceasefire was agreed to with Palestinians.
To me, we allow it in the United States. How many times have you watched the news and there's somebody speaking on behalf of Israel or the government of Israel or the Israeli perspective, how many times you've seen a Palestinian talking in U.S. news? They never, we never showed the Palestinian view.
Yeah.
We never showed like what's going on. Tell me from your perspective, what's going on? Like, and we just, it's a one-sided story, which that's why Americans are pro-Israelis because they don't see the other side.
Sure.
I mean, hell, 40,000 people dead.
No, when I was traveling in Europe last year, it was all about the Palestinian side. Not all about it, but it was much more.
No, I think it's much more balanced.
It's much more balanced.
It's more balanced. They bring somebody.
Swedish TV.
Oh, you do. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They bring somebody from the other side and speak to it.
It is quite astounding how one-sided
it is. It truly is. I was shocked.
We know why this is.
We know the American people are ill-informed.
Why is it?
AIPAC. Why do we allow other foreign governments to pay off the employees of our own government?
Mm.
AIPAC.
All right.
What is AIPAC, Freddie?
It's
American-Israeli.
It's a lobbying, essentially lobbying bureaucratic group that can give money to our politicians in order to help make decisions on bills.
And supposedly their mandate is they're spreading their cultural and influence amongst politicians. So it's all legal.
Yeah.
It is American-Israel Public Affairs Committee.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's boil this down and wrap this piece because we can certainly really, we can take this on all different directions. But I really think that to all this influence, and now even you, Freddie, you enlightened me in terms of where a lot of that influence is coming from. They don't want to speak against Israel because you're immediately called an anti-Semite.
No.
Just because you want to have, let's have a discussion.
But
I mean, 40,000 people,
but
they won't go there because you're going to be called an anti-Semite.
Whatever
which I think is wrong. You should be able to, I mean, talk freely here. I mean,
whatever Hamas did was wrong. But
there's no question about
you know,
that atrocity.
And
it was an atrocity.
It was an atrocity, but like, I'm an engineer. let's put the Israelis casualties and the Palestinian casualties.
Totally agree.
And tell me what the problem is.
Totally agree. All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, so much for that deep dive. It's a hot topic, definitely. And could have potential impact on our election.
If a bigger war breaks out,
exactly.
Who knows?
I know. That's really tough on that. So we're going to wrap up real quick with the lightning round. So five topics. What's on your mind? What just viscerally feel whatever that strikes in you. You know, a few words on that, and then boom, we're on to the next topic. You ready to go, Alex? You ready to?
I think so. Yeah.
Childcare.
I love it. I benefited from it.
Elites.
Oh, is it me again?
Yeah, you get five topics.
Elites. Well, they should not control everything.
All right.
Middle class is what it's about.
There you go.
Go Kamala.
Culture war. How do you feel about the culture war?
I don't feel a lot about it, to be honest. I'm more about economic stuff.
Policy.
Yeah.
All right. Fossil fuel.
We need it for now.
Last but not least, grievance politics.
It's terrible. Everyone has a grievance. It doesn't belong.
All right. Well, there we go. Hisham, you ready?
Sure.
National debt.
It's going crazy. I mean, it's like
out of control.
Out of control. I mean, it's like their credit card debts that they can come back from it. We kicking the cans down the road. So, I mean,
two generations
down the road, they're gonna deal with it.
Tax policy.
Small government again. Taxes are there to fix fix what we need in the government. In society, like we all benefit from it, like roads and schools, and which is great. But to me, it should be. We should discuss it. We should. It is crazy that sometimes our tax, we don't know where the taxes go sometimes.
And last but not least, term limits.
Oh, yeah, we need that, right? We have some crazy old men and women running the country. I mean, we had a senator from California that she died in office, and God knows how long she wasn't acting for her job. So to me, if I was, I work, and the day I'm in my 80s, I don't think my company wants me to show up to work with we should have the limits.
Okay. And for the Supreme Court as well, I think.
Exactly. Yes.
For all government employees.
All right, Freddie, you ready to?
Let's do it.
Socialism.
Could be beneficial in some ways. I consider myself more of a social democrat. You know, I'm not all the way for full-on socialism, but we benefit from social programs. You know, think about the police, think about firemen, think about our roads.
Teachers,
all of it.
All right. Science.
More of it, please.
Thank you. Hitler.
Oof.
Hitler and wine.
I need a glass of wine. Next.
Crazy.
Evil. All right, last one. Healthcare.
Let's give everyone healthcare. We spend too much money on the middlemen in our healthcare system in the U.S., and we would all benefit if, we didn't pay all these middle people.
All right. Alex, will you assist me here and give me five topics, and then we'll wrap up today's podcast?
You want me to read these topics?
Those would be mine, yes.
Oh, Tyree?
Five.
Okay, got it. The media.
Gotta have it.
Climate change.
I'm optimistic. I think that the next generation and thereafter, they're gonna solve it.
Project 2025.
Ooh, that just hit the pit of my stomach. I mean, the nerve. They actually have a plan to implement their horrible, disgusting future of what America should be.
So you're not for it then?
Oh, look, there's more deer. Okay, AOC.
I respect her. I'm pro AOC.
All right. Finally, mental illness.
That's a big one. Tie that with the gun rights, and you know, we have that could be next week's podcast. Yeah, I think there's a lot of suffering there.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, so much for helping me out this week. And to my listeners, take care, everybody, and we'll talk next time.